can't be surprised that my uncle was so taken with the story. I mean, who wouldn't be? This is the stuff of dark fantasy. Stuff you only find in books and horror movies. A young sculptor having dreamed the figure and exact hieroglyphics that Legrasse recovered from the swamp raid. It's fascinating stuff if it's true. That's what I had a problem believing. I thought Wilcox must have heard about this occurrence in New Orleans and my uncle's connection to it, and was now making up fake dreams to take advantage of an old man's obsession. So I took a trip out to Providence to find out for myself if Wilcox was a fraud, and to tell him off for winding my uncle up about something so dark.
Yes, sir. How can I help you?
Hello? Yes, my name is Francis Wayland Thurston. I believe you knew my uncle, Professor Angel?
Yes, I did. He was very interesting. I'm sure you know, if you're here, that he had me come in almost daily to recount my dreams to him. They were very odd dreams, and I haven't had any like them in a long time. He never did tell me why he was so interested in my dreams.
I wanted to talk to you about a cult I believe you have some knowledge of. The cult that worships the beast portrayed in the clay piece you gave my uncle.
I'm sorry?
The cult. You learned about it prior to your sessions with my uncle, correct?
I'm so sorry, but I don't know how to help you. I don't know what you're talking about.
The man could see from his brief time in the room that this young sculptor was a genius. His work was extensive and intricate, and he was certain that Wilcox would be known as one of the great decadents, bringing to life the words and ideas of some of the darkest Gothic works in history. He was a frail and somewhat unkempt young man, but as the two spoke, Thurston became convinced that Wilcox was telling the truth. He soon led the man over to a horrible statue of the same creature that was carved in the clay bas-relief.
I've been haunted by this since I first dreamed it. To be honest, I don't even remember seeing it in a dream. I just remember waking and it was being formed in the clay with hands that were out of my control.
And these dreams, what were they like?
It was awful and dark. I would be standing in an ancient cyclopean city, and the only sounds around me were the dripping of slime off the bricks and my own panicked breathing. The geometry of the buildings, it was all wrong, it didn't make sense, and they shouldn't have been able to stand. I've tried to replicate it in my own sculptures, and nothing will stand that is built like those buildings were. I've stopped trying to understand it, but the worst part was the voice. No, not a voice, but something like a voice. It clattered around in my mind. The phrase Cthulhu Fatagan. Over and over.
Well, I'm sorry to make you relive all of that. I just had to know and wanted to meet you for myself. Thank you for your time.
Oh, okay. Yes. Thank you for coming by.
You really are quite talented. I wish you all the best with your work.
Thank you.
As the man left, his mind worked through this interaction and decided that while he believed Wilcox when he said he knew nothing of the cult, he didn't believe he had never heard of it. He just figured that with all of the other odd readings and writings the young artist had come in contact with, he must have forgotten his hearing of the dark worshippers. Subconsciously, this knowledge had haunted Wilcox's dreams and caused him to seek out the man's uncle. But Thurston no longer believed it was out of cruelty or mockery.
The whole idea of the cult still fascinated me as I left. So much so that I actually went to New Orleans and talked to Legrasse about it. I questioned the remaining prisoners as well. Unfortunately, Castro had passed away a few years before, so I couldn't ask him any questions about the information I'd seen in the manuscript. But all of this, all the information I'd uncovered, it started to form into a conclusion in my mind. Not a comforting one.
What conclusion?
My uncle's death was no accident. He took a shortcut through a shady street with ruffians living all over the place and just drops dead. No. No, I don't buy it. I don't know that I ever did. I wouldn't be surprised if they used some horrible method to kill him instantly, and that's why they couldn't find any true cause of death besides heart failure.
Do you have any actual evidence?
No. No, no evidence. But a sailor in Norway is dead because he saw things having to do with this cult, and now my uncle is dead. Drew LaGrasse and his men have lived, but it's too coincidental. Everything points to foul play. And LaGrasse may have just been left alone because he and his men are officers, and it would have been too publicized if they all died after their mission. Look, I know it's hard to believe, but my uncle is dead, and right before he died, he learned all of this. And I think I'm next, now that I've learned all of these things.
Okay, is that the whole story?
No. There's more. After getting nothing from Wilcox, I had nearly given up on my quest to find out more about the cult. I was actually visiting my friend, James Morton. He's a curator of a museum in New Jersey, as well as a very skilled mineralogist.
Thurston, hello! Come in quickly! I don't want to get water all over the floors!
The museum was a fair size, with families and couples here and there exploring the artifacts on display. It was kept very clean. Only moments after the two men wiped their feet and walked in, there was a janitor mopping up the water that had dripped on the floor.
Ah, yes. Unfortunately, that's not here, my friend. Have you met Noah? Noah Clark? He did the reproduction of the Sterling Bush Caverns in New York. I would have loved to have done it here, but New York is where the money goes. What can you do? It really is fascinating. There was a
Thurston knew how much his friend loved his work. So he let him prattle on, even though he knew nothing about mineralogy or geology whatsoever. The two entered the back room where Morton kept most of his in-progress projects. Jars of different specimens covered the shelves on the walls, and newspaper clippings dotted the boards around the area. Everything seemed organized by topic, whether they were written notes, general news, or scientific news.
Damn! I told that caretaker we needed this fixed last week!
Okay, I'll get the papers. Just shut the window.
What is this?
Thurston had begun to sort the clippings out again until his eyes landed on a photograph from the Sydney Bulletin. A hideous image of a stone statuette. One almost identical to the one LaGrasse had shown his uncle.
Ah, yes. I'd almost forgotten I'd kept that. The story was just so odd. I couldn't just toss it. Really, I kept it because of the unknown physical properties of the stone. As a mineralogist, how could I not be fascinated by something like that?
Thurston was barely listening anymore. His eyes were glued to the page, taking in its contents with a fierce curiosity. Vigilant arrives with helpless armed New Zealand yacht in tow. One survivor and dead man found aboard. Tale of desperate battle and deaths at sea. Rescued seaman refuses particulars of strange experience. Odd idol found in his possession. Inquiry to follow. The Morrison Company's freighter Vigilant, bound from Valparaiso, arrived this morning at its wharf in Darling Harbor, having in tow the battled and disabled but heavily armed steam yacht Alert of Dunedin, New Zealand.
All right, normal assignments today for everyone except Walton. You said you wanted to do more hands-on work, so congratulations. You'll be helping Miller and Byron haul and sort the cargo. Everybody clear?
Sir?
Yes, do you have a question?
Do we have a scheduled docking at this time?
Not until 9. Why?
That's why.
Shouldn't be anything coming in yet. Someone try to radio in, see what the captain thinks he's doing. Smith, yes, you, go, get on the radio.
I don't see anyone aboard, sir. Do you?
There must be someone aboard, Thomas. Maybe they just turned around, or it could be a genuine emergency, in which case I need you to help Miller prepare for impact. He doesn't seem to be slowing down. I believe this is the Vigilant. Hopefully Smith can get the captain to slow down and come in at a safe speed.
Darling Harbor to incoming ship. We don't have you on our docking schedule for today. Please identify yourself and state your reason for arrival. Over. Darling Harbor to incoming ship. The Vigilant, as I understand it, I need to speak with the captain on board, and if not the captain, whoever is in charge about your entrance speed. Over. Darling Harbor to Vigilant, you are coming in too fast. You have to slow down to dock properly. Please copy and adjust your speed. Over. Vigilant, slow your speed now.
Everybody get away! Now!
It was sighted April 12th in south latitude 34-21, west longitude 152-17, with one living and one dead man aboard. The Vigilant left Valparaiso March 25th and on April 2nd was driven considerably south of her course by exceptionally heavy storms and monster waves. On April 12th, the derelict was sighted, and though apparently deserted...
All right, who's in charge of this heat? You just put a huge hole in my dock, so someone better be ready to pay for it. All right, men, spread out and find the bastard in charge. Bring him to me.
God, do you smell that?
Yeah, what is that? It smells like something rotten. Holy shit, oh. God.
Did you find it? Christ. Hey, boss! You're gonna need to come see this.
Did you find the captain?
Maybe. Whoever it is, he's been dead for a while.
Do you hear that? Hello? We're here to help. You don't have to hide from us.
I can't zoom, but I can't.
It's okay, it's okay. We're here to help. Can you stand? Why don't you hand me that and I can help you out here?
No!
I'm gonna need some help over here! I found the man, but he doesn't seem to be hearing me fully.
Jesus. Alright, sir, my friend and I are gonna get you out of here, okay? Not if you understand. Oh boy, okay, just get on his other side and we'll carry him out.
He's gotta let go of that thing in his hand, otherwise we can't carry him out. It's solid rock.
Hey, Thomas! We'll worry about the body later. Right now we need your help in here with a survivor.
Oh, hell. Okay, what do you need me to do?
Get him to give you that statue thing. We can't carry him if he's refusing to let go of it.
Okay, hello? Sir, we're gonna get you help. Don't worry. We're gonna keep the statue safe for you, alright? But we gotta get you out so we can get some food and water and medicine. So I'm just gonna take this? Good. Okay. I got away from him. We just gotta get him outside, quick.
It was found upon boarding to contain one survivor in a half-delirious condition, and one man who had evidently been dead for more than a week. The living man was clutching a horrible stone idol of unknown origin, about a foot in height, regarding whose nature authorities at Sydney University, the Royal Society, and the museum in College Street all profess complete bafflement, and which the survivor says he found in the cabin of the yacht in a small carved shrine of common pattern.
That's it. There we go. Okay. Smith, get him inside and see if we have anything hot for him to drink. Need him lucid so we can answer some questions when the authorities get here.
Sir, there's something you need to see.
What now? Is this something more important than a man having an episode and a dead body?
I don't know about more important, but just come with me, please.
All right, this better be good. What the hell?
I thought you might want to have seen this. Might be important for the authorities to know about.
Oh, God, it looks like something attacked an altar. I've never seen claw marks like these before, and all this... I assume it's blood, judging by the condition of the people we've found. There's just... there's so much. This outline here... this looks just like the statue the crazy guy was holding on to when we found him. This is way above my pay grade, young man. Let's get out of here and call the authorities. Now!
Call of Cthulhu is a Mad Artists Entertainment production. The script is adapted from H.P. Lovecraft's The Call of Cthulhu by Danielle Lorentz. This episode was directed, edited, and produced by Danielle Lorentz. Call of Cthulhu stars Thomas Cox, John Legalis, Kayla Perry, Rick Harper, and Adam Farmer, with additional ensemble voices credited in the channel description. For more information regarding Mad Artists Entertainment, and to contact us, please visit our website, madartistsco.com, or our social media pages at Mad Artists Entertainment on Instagram and Facebook. See you next time.